This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Alice at 97.3's Sarah and Vinny.
Come and babe.
Alice at 97.3's Sarah and Vinny. Alice's morning show. It is 9:10. And it is time for Disney. I can see that you guys already know that. I can see all the lines all lit up. Corey's going to get the phones. He's looking for call number 97. 800-400-3697. We would love to send you to Aulani Resort. It's a one-of-a-kind Disney experience in Ko'olina, Hawaii. And if you're calling 97, you're in the running. You'll instantly win a Disney gift card, so you can spend that however you want. And then you may win this grand prize vacation for four to Aulani Resort. We're doing this all day, 9, noon, 3, and 5. Call now and get yourself in the running.
That same number is where you can text us, and we've got a bunch of those coming through.
Oh, do it's always, we?
Well, come on.
Sure.
So here's some of the stuff you had to say. I just lost the one. Oh, here it is. The Bay Area is one of the richest communities in the nation. Not surprised, well-traveled. By the way, no such thing as Czechoslovakia since 93. It's the Czech Republic.
Well, that's fine.
That's exactly right.
Right.
That's where she's doing some TV show. And it's weird because not being traveled, I had no idea what the Czech Republic would look like.
Mm-hmm.
It's neat.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It's really neat.
Like, isn't the Czech Republic where Dubrovnik is? No one in there is going to look at me.
I don't know.
They shot, it's just ancient, Eastern European stuff. It's beautiful. They shot Game of Thrones there, some of it.
Oh.
Yeah.
What's it called? What's the city?
Dubrovnik? Oh, Prague. Okay, so what am I thinking of? I'm wrong then, because they shot in Dubrovnik.
That's in Slovakia.
Oh, well, that's part of the old Czechoslovakia.
Yeah, there you go.
That's what we're talking
about. So it's in the Czech Republic?
Yes.
Yes.
No, or near.
But Prague is a big location. They shoot a lot of things in Prague,
right.
And it's beautiful. I mean, it's big stone, ancient Eastern European.
And that's the thing. Yeah. The history over there is just insanity.
Well, that's looking at one of our old interns' Instagrams. I kept going, where is she? It's killer. Super neat. I don't know if the show ever came out or what, but good for her.
I should look at my 23andMe results. My mom has told me my whole life that I'm Slovakian.
What are you waiting for?
I don't know. I keep forgetting. It just doesn't occur to me when I get home. I remember it here, and then I go, I got to do that.
I'll send you a text.
Thanks, Finn. The problem is I'll look at the text because I won't remember that it's a text I shouldn't look at till I get home. And then the little dot will be gone and I'll still forget.
You won't forget. You'll be just fine. I'm going to send it to you. You're going to see it. You're going to go, oh, right. That's
right. I got to do that. Is that going to take long? Because I got purses to make.
How hard is it to... There you go.
I don't know. It's not that
There's
hard.
A text.
Thank you.
I sent you a rooster again.
Oh, is that what that other text was for? The chicken... Thing you were sending me?
No, I don't know. I don't know why. I just keep sending you a rooster because I think I'm.
Because you think it's hilarious. I know. I didn't even get the joke until afterwards when we weren't on the air. You said told me what you sent.
Right.
Anyway, cock-a-doodle-doo.
Remember.
I'm like, oh, haha, he's being hilarious.
Remember to look at your 23andMe results.
All right.
Okay?
I'll try.
All right. Wish you guys had secret shows again with the interns. Yeah. Are we doing one today, by the way?
We are doing one today.
Oh, all right.
But the thing is, we do one a week, and it's just, now that we're in this studio, there just aren't enough mics. We're actually really
here.
Limited.
Hopefully we get a better setup down the line.
Yeah, we're hoping for that. But right now, we're spread out over three studios, all feeding into one.
It's
you can't even see anyone else. The only person I can see is Vinny. It's ridiculous. We need a pod. Remember how great that for? We had no idea how great we had it in that first podcast studio.
I loved that studio.
It was amazing. Yeah. I wanted to do our whole show from there. Yeah. It was so great.
But we did do our show there a couple times, but we had to remind ourselves, this isn't the secret show.
Because we were used to swearing in that room.
Yeah.
Right. Because swearing does feel good.
It does.
It does.
It's weird how swearing into a mic is just like liberating.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't like swearing... Our secret show's not for you. We're cutting one today.
Oh, just heard Vinny say my wife. Never thought I'd see the day. Congrats, man. Just don't grow up too much. She's not the one that grew me up. It's the two kids that are making me be...
You're an adult, embrace it.
Oh.
Embrace it. It's amazing.
Someone wrote in, and I hadn't heard this part. I knew Jackson Mickey or whatever this dude's name is, that he was a douchebag. That was visible every episode.
He demonstrated that every day.
The guy has a domestic violence charge against him. Have you heard that?
Yes, that has been circulated around.
Bad news.
It's actually not surprising at all. Honestly, the way he behaved toward Holly was that kind of behavior, the one where you are out of line. Meanwhile, here's a woman who should be self-possessed, who's just become this guy's... That first time I saw her, he had this look on her face, she went... I'm sorry. Oh my God. What are you sorry for?
Give us another minute for to finish up the contest before we get to the movie review.
All right.
Okay. I do have one last text. It's very important that I get this out there.
All right.
How do I stream Alice Radio? It's called radio.com. We've got an app for that.
We do. Our very own app.
Our parent company came up with an app so you can stream our radio station. That's what it's for.
Yeah, it's for our show and for our radio station.
Right.
Go there and you'll find Alice 973, and then you will also find all of our podcasts. They're all on there too.
It's at radio.com.
I actually love when we get like a really dissonant harmony on the dot coms. Yeah. It's so funny. And then everybody holds the note. It's like,
let's try one more time.
.com.
Oh, that was nice.
That's good. Yep.
I like it.
Yet.
Apparently, it's time for the movie review.
Come on, Alex.
Thank you, Ruben.
That Persian lion was an allusion to the movie we're going to review. You know, there was a lion roar. We heard that.
Corey Rosen.
It's called reincorporation.
Don't talk over the...
Yeah, don't talk over your intro.
I like... That's like our at-bat song.
Thank you so much, everyone. All right, we're back. And here
we're
is
here.
Your...
What? No, I'm just talking.
He's just joining in.
Not Hooman.
Yeah, hello. Here is your review of Abominable. Stars the voices of Sarah Paulson and Eddie Izzard. And is directed by one of Corey's best friends, Jill Colton.
Oh, one of your best friends?
Can you believe this?
Should you
review
friend.
This?
An old friend. Let's say an old friend.
Yeah, should you recuse yourself from this?
I like to only review movies that either I worked on or I know the people closely.
That doesn't seem right. I don't know.
Completely biased movie reviewing with Corey Rosen.
All right. This guy's in the movie business. I just don't see it, but okay.
So in this film, a teenage girl in China finds a Yeti, which is basically an abominable snowman.
All right.
It's living on her roof. After realizing this Yeti is lost, she's determined to return this abominable snowman to his home, which is on top of Mount Everest.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah.
So
thank God they're in China. I mean, it would be far. It's still far, but if she was in the U.S., it would be impossible.
True. Yeah, that would be tough.
Corey, at the heart of this film, is it really just a tourism piece for China?
It is a film set in China with a mostly Chinese cast, except for the bad guy, who is British, of course.
Oh, and, of course
and it really showcases China in a lot of ways that make you say, like, wow, I should go travel around China. So that's a commercial for China, then yes.
Is this a live action thing?
No, it's an animated film.
It's animated China.
Yeah.
They can, you know, take the graffiti off the Great Wall or whatever.
It's a very beautiful looking China. It's actually co-produced with a Chinese animation studio called Pearl Animation Studio, with DreamWorks doing the rest of it. It's certainly a sanitized, beautiful looking China in a universe that makes you sort of like it and want to go there.
If you come to China, you can experience everything in this film and more. That's basically the message.
China
is a pretty amazing place to visit.
It truly is.
It really is amazing.
Yeah, and I gotta say, I've been to a couple of the places that they visit in this movie, and they look that good. They do.
Corey,
yeah, I think.
How did you feel about this filmmaking, the white man, the white woman, the bad guy, the one destroying endangered species of the world?
Well, the heart of this movie is that it's a young girl who is kind of, you know, fatherless, wanting for something. She's collecting money. She wants to go on this kind of adventure to see China, to see the world. And in its way, it's a film that is about, you know, about protecting our Earth, and it's got a very environmental heart to it.
Yep.
And the white man is destroying that. So is that wrong? You be the judge.
Well, listen, I mean, I've heard about the air in Beijing, so it's not like China's not also contributing.
In the movie.
Oh, in the movie, they're
Beijing
not.
Beijing is beautiful.
Oh, I'll bet it is. The blue sky and everything. That's amazing.
Yeah.
All right, so even though this film is, you know, somewhat of a propaganda piece, there were times where it was so beautiful.
Yeah.
I actually cried at one point. It's so, you have no idea how beautiful this film is.
Yeah.
Like, it's phenomenally beautiful. I'm so torn because at one point I'm just sitting there watching. I'm going, oh my God, the white guy's bad guy. And, you know, look at this China tourism. And then you get taken to this beautiful Buddha.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it's just, I was so moved.
It's
almost
a cartoon. I just don't understand how you're getting moved by this. Like,
well, have you ever cried at a Pixar movie?
Sure, but not at the locations. Although I did think that The Island and The Incredibles in the first one, mm-hmm. I was like, wow, that is visually stunning.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just so funny that you're like crying over these things that are just CG.
Well,
I think technologically we've gotten to a place where we've all been kind of wowed by animation and by characters and performances and crowds and Lord of the Rings and all the kind mm-hmm. of things that we can do. And I think we're starting to see another sort of era of digital filmmaking and animated filmmaking where like the places and the realism that you can render and create these environments can be just as emotional and just as moving and really just as realistic. So I think it is.
It's pretty realistic looking,
really,
and you're
beautiful.
Saying it's just, it sounds like the cinematography, if that's even
yes.
a thing in CG.
Yeah, it is. It's actually a beautiful movie, and it's got a magical component to it. It's not rooted in realism. It's
there's a Yeti.
Yeah.
You know.
But it also has things where, like, the Yeti has some magic powers, and the characters can kind of, like, fly on a dandelion puff and soar through clouds and things. And so
it's
all
like a poem.
That, it kind of is. Mm-hmm. It's very lyrical, and it's very beautiful, and it's very sweet. And Hooman cried. I did not cry.
You didn't cry in this one?
No,
well, you're a big boy, so.
I cry in almost every movie. So I was, that's a ding against this movie for me. It didn't make me cry. Judy made me cry.
Well, let's get to that in a sec. Sum it all up. Let me just say this. I'm really torn with this film because I've been to China. China is amazing. I highly recommend everyone in the sound of my voice go check out Hong Kong. I know Hong Kong isn't China, but I think it is China.
Yeah,
I said, I mean, come on.
It's going back. It's headed that way.
But I know, right? But on the other hand, this film is just so beautiful. I've been thinking about it for 5 straight days. One scene in particular. If you have a young child, this is definitely worth checking out. Take your kid to see this. I'm going to give it 3.5 Persian rugs.
Beautiful. And I will sum it all up by saying that that there is some lovely imagery and some lovely performances and some great ideas in the movie Abominable. I think ultimately the stakes aren't really that strong. And so I wasn't as emotionally moved. I think the story is pretty thin, so I'm only going to give it 2¾ bagels with a
harsh on the he knows
sweet and
the
sour
lady.
Schmear. It's a sweet and sour
this
schmear.
Is your best friend.
I got to be honest.
A best friend?
Oh, my God.
Okay.
All right, everyone, here is your review of Judy. This film stars Renee Zellweger and Michael Gambon. He's Dumbledore in Harry Potter. So this film...
Number two.
Yes. This film, for the most part, shows two periods in the life of Judy Garland. It goes back and forth. So 1 year before she dies and when she's roughly 16 years old making The Wizard of Oz. Mm-hmm. And yes, she was 16. Yes, Sarah.
Is it another actress who plays her at 16?
Yes.
Okay, all right.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah, that would be, yeah.
I mean, be a serious digital right. You know. Yeah. She's had some work done, but not that much.
That would have been incredible
CGI. Someone else's face under her.
Yeah.
All right, well, Corey, let's keep the Oscar conversation going. Mm. 2 weeks ago, we predicted J-Lo will get a nomination.
Definitely
last week, we debated about Brad Pitt.
Questionable.
Corey, will Renee get a nomination for Best Lead Actor in a Film?
Yes, and win it.
Oh.
Oh,
you're predicting a win.
I haven't seen every movie, but I think strong chance. Oscar nomination.
See, you couldn't. You almost tried to dump this in my lap when I walked out of the. You love this movie.
Well, I. Yeah. This movie got me. This movie got me from the first time she opens her mouth and sings like Judy Garland. It got me.
Let's hear some of that, Alex. Let's hear a little bit of Renee Zellweger singing.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is her and Sam Smith.
Yeah, okay. You don't like that?
It's like, this is not in the
it's
movie.
Fine.
Oh, okay.
This is not vintage.
All right. All right, Corey.
Yeah, that's the soundtrack song.
For the most part, is Judy a joyless film?
To me, it was not. I joyless. Think it's a drama. I think it's a very empathetic portrayal of a very, you know, fraught and broken woman's life that takes you into the why. You know, when we see her as a kid in the studio system of the 30s with Louis B. Mayer, this very dominating, domineering father slash abusive figure in her life.
Oh.
And then you see her in... towards the end of her life, and you see what she's become and how she's just trying to hold on to her own children. I think joyless is a hard way of putting it, because it's sad. It is sad. And it's heart-wrenching.
Yeah. All right, Corey. Yes.
Sorry. Is Liza Minnelli's character in this
yes,
at all?
Yes. Yes.
Briefly.
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
It's so she's got kids from five different husbands.
Oh, she
I guess.
Does? Yeah. How many yeah. kids did she have?
In
she
this movie, we meet three of them.
Okay. Yeah.
But you do. It's all British actors, so I didn't know any of them. I'm sure a lot of them from Downton Abbey. I didn't see anybody from Game of Thrones.
Okay.
All right, let's talk about Louis B. Mayer. Who is Louis B. Mayer?
Louis B. Mayer, one of the original kind of studio system
the founder
of MGM. Patrons,
yes.
Founded MGM, founded the Academy Motion Picture, like the Oscars, basically.
Mm. This is, yeah.
Yeah, and the year that Wizard of Oz came out, 1939, was also the year that like Gone with the Wind came out for MGM.
That's
and
right.
Goodbye, Mr. Chips, like all of these big things. So it's a major time in Hollywood history.
So she was older when she was, I actually thought she was probably like 12 or 13 when she did Gone with the Wind, but, I mean, not Gone with the Wind.
Wizard of Oz.
Yeah,
well, so Dorothy is supposed to be 11. So it was a 16-year-old playing 11-year-olds.
Oh, okay.
All right. So, and let's talk about Louis in the abuse of Judy Garland that she suffered under this guy.
Yeah.
Like, what happened to her?
So, I mean, I'm not giving anything away. This is well-known information. But, you know, in those times, they had this sort of studio system where the kid actors were very controlled. You know, they were under contracts and they wanted to control things like who they were dating and what they were eating and keeping them, you know, sort of skinny and stuff. So pushing pills on them, controlling their sleeping schedules, all that kind of stuff is definitely a part of this and sets up how she kind of gets addicted to drugs and sort of troubles in her personal life as she gets older.
Mm.
Also, this guy molested her.
We don't see that in the movie.
Well, he hints at it. If you want to swim, come swim at my house. Like, he's pushing it. So
is that a known thing that he
it is.
Molested her?
Yeah.
She apparently she claimed that in her autobiography.
Oh.
And other people like Mickey Rooney have said that he didn't, so it's hard to know.
Right.
So
I'm not defending.
No, certainly not. Of course not. No one should be molested.
Yeah.
I just want to say the thing that really got me is she had to perform at the highest level. I mean, Wizard of Oz is arguably one of the top 10 films of all time. And then you got this guy pushing pills on you, telling you can't have a burger, telling her, like, watching every step she takes, and then molesting her on top of all of that, and then still having to perform.
Yep.
I mean, you can see why you're watching this movie going, oh, my God, how is this person even surviving? Mm-hmm. How are they even able to function?
Because they're not a person so much. You know, in this mm-hmm. kind of era and this model, the idea is that we're creating
product.
Stars.
Yeah. Right.
You're a product, and we're going to create you. And one of the first interactions that he has with her, he's basically telling her, like, there's girls who are prettier than you and that can do other things that you can do. And, like, I can replace you, but there is something special about her that he sees in her, which is the way she can sing, her voice, and her you know,
innocence
and likability and all
and,
that kind of
he
stuff.
And he looked at her and he goes, do not forget, without me, you would be Francis Gum. But because of me, you are Judy Garland.
It's a thing. It's a trap.
So twisted.
Yeah. It is so twisted.
So thank goodness so much of, you know, the work situation for people. I mean, these were people who made X amount per week and every single week and did whatever that studio told them they were doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yet you'd like to say that it was over then. But there's this thing called Harvey Weinstein and the Me Too era. And basically, we're kind of now having those conversations and realizing, like, this is still happening and it's wrong and things are actually changing. So
let's hope.
Good on us.
Sum it all up. Let me just say this. This movie is so sad. It's hard to get the joy out of it because you see how broken this character is. Even the bright spots were shadowed by incredible suffering. I can't imagine how Judy could get through any of her days. Anyway.
Oh, you're holding your heart.
I know. It really affected me. And I did bring two of my friends with me, and they were bawling their eyes out at the end. They sat and watched the entire credits. I was waiting for them outside to just, like, say, then they were like, thank you for taking us. They go, we're wrecked, but thank you for taking us. It's a good film. It's hard to watch. But the performance of Renee Zellweger is so phenomenal that I have to give it 4.25 Persian rugs.
Very good. Wow. All right. I will sum it all up by saying that I think I differ from your opinion. I think it's a joyless film. I think it's a you know, tragically flawed character, a real person who, when she starts to sing, takes you to that other place. That, like, when she opens her mouth and there's basically this kind of cabaret act that she's doing throughout the film, and it's in those scenes where you hear the voice and you see her performance and all of that stuff that you are just elevated to the joy that she gets on stage, and it gives you that joy. So it's really got both for me. It's got heart, it's got depth, it's got emotion, it's got stakes, and it's got real beautiful. If you love music and musicals, you will love this film, and it gets 5.25 bagels.
Oh boy, it's over.
That's
it's over performing.
Five. We're going 5.25.
Wow.
Bagels.
One of those genius kids who comes out with a 4.2. No one knows how they did it.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm not sure who's going to do the review next week, but we're going to review The Joker. And the reason is, I thought it might be your husband and son, but I don't know if they're going to step up.
I have no idea, Hooman. I'm not really in control of
You're
that.
You're not. If not, it's going to be Corey, everybody.
Right. Hey, Corey, so are you predicting Best Actress?
Yes, I am.
And Best Picture?
No.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Well, 5.25.
Could be. Could be Best Picture.
What could beat that?
Could be Best Picture. I mean, we haven't seen everything. It's only September, Vinny. It's September.
Are we in the season?
Almost October.
Almost, yeah.
So this is it. This is the season.
It starts September. Yeah, first week of September.
We're in it. But it's a strong start. I loved it. And if you like to cry, if you like to feel, if you like music, see Judy.
And it's Renee's voice the whole time.
And if you like comedy, come see Bats Improv Friday night at Bats Improv in San Francisco's Fort Mason Center, 8 p.m. I will be performing tomorrow night with an amazing cast of improvisers making up a TV pilots is what we're improvising tomorrow night.
Oh,
so and you, the audience, will have a choice of which shows you want to go on. So you can cancel shows and you can see which scene will go on to become what we call the super scene.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
That's sort of fun.
It's
you guys
really
always
fun.
Have some neat theme. We actually did a huge plug for you this morning at
you
like
did?
5 in the morning.
Good.
I think because we knew he was coming in. Is that when we were talking about it? All right, Corey, thank you so much. Hooman, great to
thank
see you.
You
sticking around for the Secret
yeah,
Show?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Perfect.
All right.
We'll be back in a sec.
Sarah and Vinny.
Alice at 97.3, Sarah and Vinny, Alice's Morning Show. Thanks for listening today. Thanks to Corey Rosen for coming by and doing the movie review. And thanks to Hooman, I guess, too. Now he's just a guest. Nice to see him once a week for movies reviews. And we are going to go do a Secret Show now,
yeah.
Which is our weekly podcast. It's a dirty, filthy little thing. It's not for you. Don't listen to it. No one should.
It's for you. You're going to love it.
Yeah, you dirty little monkey.
You know that people are like, oh, what's that all about?
Hey.
Well, listen, if you're a prude, I assure you, it's really not for you. Go to RadioAlice.com or wherever you're, Radio.com, wherever you get your podcasts, and I'm sure that'll be up around 11 or so. Totally unedited.
Yeah, you're going to love it.
Alex, you're in charge of that. You're going to be all right? You're going to be able to get our Secret Show up there?
Sure.
Okay, great. That
oh my
sounds
God,
super
you're
confident.
So positive about
yeah,
that.
I have high hopes. All right, everyone, have a great day. We'll see you back here on Friday.
Sarah and Vinny. Sarah and Vinny on Alice at 97.3.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.